We have Neil Levesque, Institute of Politics. Check this one out. He's calling in a moment, GMI Studios. Almost 70%. I mean, this kind of caught me yesterday afternoon, their latest poll, Institute of Politics. Almost 70% of New Hampshire voters they serve, almost 70%, 68%, do not approve of the current track we're on for the United States of America. I started thinking about that. Now, that to me doesn't bode well for any current political office holders, because people, it tells me people are just not real happy with politicians these days. Now, that shouldn't surprise all of us, but it's got to be concerning. And, you know, I was thinking of the challenge here for Joe Biden, President Biden, because it how do I put this? Donald Trump, Trump is Trump, right? Just the style and everything, bombastic, that's Trump. But if you just step away from the Trump factor for a moment and look at past presidents, G.W. Bush, President Obama, just stay with me on this one. There was some degree of ability, or Bill Clinton, to elevate the personality when need be, you know, to kind of put it on, turn it on, get a little, you know, whatever, try and move the... Joe Biden is about as known to politics in Washington as some of the, no offense, statues down there in the buildings. I mean, 50 years, it's a long time to be in the Senate, ran for president several times, sitting vice president for 8 years under with President Obama. This, Joe Biden's about as known in Washington as anyone. And I would argue more so than Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, any McConnell. Joe Biden has been a fixture in Washington for as long as almost some of the buildings. And I'm being totally serious. He's been down there a long time. And one thing that always was remarkable to me, with all the people running for the Democratic nomination, from Mayor Pete Buttigieg to Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, you have Joe Biden, was 78 years old, oldest. Yeah, Donald Trump is mid-upper 70s. So Joe Biden's almost 80 years old, if you will. And if these numbers, almost 70% of people here in early Bellwether State don't approve of the direction of the way things are going in the country, how do you think Joe Biden is going to sort of fire up the lectern and the speeches and the charisma and put something new on? I mean, Joe Biden is Joe Biden. I don't think he can change the style of the game, right? I don't think he can. So I'm just saying, other presidents, you've seen a little bit of an up and down. I don't know how. Now, what the Democrats are hoping for is they pass the infrastructure bill and Joe Biden can get some of these things like daycare and some of these other things for his quote-unquote milestone agenda. And that may, in a month or two, you know, bring things back. But let me tell you what these poll numbers from St. Anselm College, Institute of Politics, if I was in the Joe Biden White House, which would make me very worried, is if almost 70% don't like the way things are going, and you have inflation, we're now hearing that a fourth shot for some of the more compromised people out there for COVID is in the wings. We're going into the fall. Governor Sununu's already said we're going to see more cases. So people are getting frustrated, supply chain stuff. You tell me what's going to go right here for a Democratic office holder, or you look at Joe Biden or leading Democrats, all of a sudden see these numbers go up. What's around the corner that's going to go right? Are heating costs coming down? Nope. Gas prices coming down? Nope. Groceries coming down? Nope. Supply chain issues going away right away? Nope. Staffing shortages going away? Nope. COVID's not going away. The virus not going away. We should have been told that, by the way. Everyone thinks, oh, virus is gone. No, virus is going to stay here. So what's going to change people's attitude on the way things are going? Neil Levesque, that's maybe the first question for him. He's the executive director, Institute of Politics, St. Anselm College. Their latest poll, we're going to find out where a possible or likely Sununu-Hassan matchup is. Let me start with that. 68%, Neil, in your survey, don't like the way things are heading.
Well, good morning, Jack. You're right. 68% now believe that the country's on the wrong track. And so what we've seen since August is that country is more polarized and we're more pessimistic about the future than we were just a few months ago. And so as a result, it drags down any incumbent who may be in office. And so what we're seeing now is, for the first time, all the members of the delegation, the Democratic members of the delegation, are underwater, meaning that their negatives are higher than their positives. It's only slightly, so it's not, you know, dire necessarily, but it is indicative of that pessimistic view and we've seen Sununu, who, if you ask voters today, do you like the way he handled COVID-19, overwhelmingly they do. But they've become more polarized, where Democrats now, as we hear talk about the Senate race and things like that, they're going into their corners. So his numbers have come down slightly, but he's still probably one of the most popular governors in the nation. He has a rating of 56 positive, 42 negative. That's, in a world that's very, very divided as we are, that's a very good number for him.
But even he is showing some downward movement. Now, if you're Senator Hassan, and it shows Sununu with a 5 or 6 point edge if the race was today?
Yes. So in the head-to-head matchup, we have Sununu at 46 and Hassan at 41. She's up a point since the last time we did that head-to-head. But you remember, $12 million or so, that's the rumor on the street anyway, $12 million has already been spent in this race, which props up Hassan and to some degree has gone negative against Sununu. So, and there is some negative ads too against Hassan out there. So, but $12 million so far.
Right.
And she's at a 46-41 deficit. So, it's tough because we've got the Biden incumbency and she's getting wrapped around some of that.
And Neil Levesque, you and I talk a lot offline and online on the show, and you're really one of the best at this. I have to say, and these are your words, not mine, Governor Sununu hasn't made his official announcement yet, but you and I think, share a mindset on it's leaning one way towards that Senate announcement. But in some ways, that Senate race, even though retired General Don Baldock, Republican, who gained in one of the last polls, I think UNH, a Republican, and he ran before, if Sununu jumps in, that's the big elephant in the room, if you will. In some ways, this Senate race has already started, has it not?
Well, $12 million. I know that that's probably not real money to a lot of people, but it's real money to me. $12 million being spent. I'll just put things into perspective.
Can you imagine the boat? Can you imagine the tuna boat you would have for $12 million, Neil?
If you were to run for Congress in the 90s or 2000s or even run for governor, $1 million race would have been huge for the entire election. And now, so far in this race, $12 million, at least on one side, has been spent. And these are big money things because we have a 50-50 Senate, and the control of the Senate, the control moving forward, is really dependent upon some of these Senate seats, and I think especially New Hampshire.
What about the first congressional district? Did you get a snapshot there on the Republicans and Chris Pappas?
Sure. Not on the Republicans, but we do a head-to-head. And Pappas is at 42 negative and 42 positive, 46 negative. He's sort of right on the threshold. Keep in mind that when you're a member of Congress like this and there's a lot of money being spent in the Senate race, it's kind of hard to get your message out. I would expect Pappas, who's a local Manchester guy, to do what I think he's been doing pretty successfully, which is go and localize the race as much as possible. And he's been out and about quite a bit doing that. Nevertheless, I think that some people would say, well, is he vulnerable because of this number? Will redistricting make him more vulnerable? So those are the big what-ifs as we move a year out from the election.
All right, good stuff. Hey, Neil, I'm trying to think on a couple of the other ones. Here we are. I think a lot's going to come into focus in the next week or so. And as I just said at one of our going out of the first break, Good Morning New Hampshire, this show and this host, confirming that at least one of the likely Republicans who may run for governor, should Governor Sununu not seek a fourth term, is already actively making calls to key supporters, a sign to me that this thing is going to kind of break open here shortly in the next week or so. But with that said, it seems to me, with some of the things I said earlier that do weigh on public opinion, and you being a political observer on public policy, price of gas, price of heating your home, price of groceries, COVID, you add all these things up, supply chain stuff. And what's going to make people all of a sudden feel good about, say, the Biden coattails or Democrats going in the midterms? even if they pass the infrastructure bill, you and I know these things take a while to take hold. So where's the good news coming if you're a Chris Pappas or a Maggie Hassan running for re-election in looking at these numbers? Or, you know, because they can change. They can change. I mean, the bad news is they're not great right now. The good news is it's a year away.
We could have a big change in the pandemic. We could have a big change in supply chain and other issues. And I'll throw one other thing out there, which a lot of people don't think about, but I do. There are a couple abortion cases that are going to go to the Supreme Court. They're either going to take them or they're not. And once they decide they're going to take them, I would think that they would probably announce their decision on that in late June. If there is any type of a rollback of Roe versus Wade in June, that may mobilize quite a few voters.
Oh, absolutely.
Which could benefit one party or the other.
Well, and you know, the state Democratic Party here, at least with Governor Sununu and Senator Hassan, has said that on this show, not backing down, questioning how pro-choice he is. You know, I know that abortion is like a number one issue. They don't want to talk about inflation or Joe Biden this next year. They want to talk about abortion and also COVID mandates. That's my prediction.
Yeah, and those are some big what-ifs. And, you know, it is what it is. We've seen this before many, many times where members of Congress and members of the U.S. Senate will get wrapped up and get taken out in a wave, which is really against the incumbent president. And so this could happen again. I think, again, you're going to see candidates try to localize as much as possible to insulate themselves from anything going on in Washington.
All right, Neil, that good stuff. It's into the politics. Get you back in soon. Good morning, Hampshire. Make it a great Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.